This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Like a lot of things in life, personal finance has some unwritten rules. Start saving early. Don't get spooked by the markets. Try to keep half of your portfolio in stocks as a retiree. But that last one, well, it might not hold up. Tara Siegel-Bernard writes about personal finance for the New York Times, and she's busting a retirement myth of sorts. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So you wrote a very interesting column that turns some advice about how you allocate a portfolio for retirement on its head. Lay it out for me.
Two really well-regarded researchers in the financial world, Michael Kitzes of Pinnacle Advisory and Wade Fow, a professor at the American College of Financial Services, came out with this new report. And basically, they found that holding as little as 20% of your money, your retirement money, in stocks upon retirement is actually less risky, and you're less likely to run out of money than holding, you know, 50 or 60% of your retirement money in stocks. And that's been the conventional wisdom thus far.
Right, because people are often told, you know, go into retirement with maybe half your money in stocks, and then you want to get more conservative over time. But these guys are saying buy stocks when you retire?
Exactly. There is a catch. They did find that, you know, holding as little as 20% in stocks upon retirement with the rest in bonds would result in less volatility. You'd get a smoother ride in your portfolio, and your money would last a few years longer. But there is a small catch. There always is one. And in this case, retirees would need to continue to buy stocks over the course of their retirement, probably about one percentage point more a year. So you'd buy one percentage point more of stocks each year as you get older.
I can't help but think about someone who retired in, say, 2005, right? And you're looking at your portfolio, and then along comes 2008, and boom, you watch it just get decimated. Does this advice hold for someone like that? Does this advice hold for everybody?
This sort of approach makes logical sense because the sequence of your returns in retirement matter. So retirees are most vulnerable when they retire at the beginning of their retirement. Because if you retire in a year like 2008, 2009, and the market crashes, you have to begin pulling money out just when your portfolio has, you know, been quartered or halved or whatever the case may be. So you're basically locking in your losses. That's why you're most vulnerable early on. If a crash came much later, your portfolio had a chance to kind of build up or remain steady. So if the market crashes earlier in your retirement, with this approach, you have less exposure to stocks at that time. So it protects you.
It all makes logical sense. And when you think about it on paper, when I read your column, I thought, oh, okay, that makes sense. And yet there's this tremendously emotional component to retirement and saving for retirement that runs totally counter to how we think about numbers. What kind of advice is there for people who are trying to stomach this approach? I mean, how do you sit there and say, I know I've just got to ride it out?
The idea is if you're buying stocks when the market's down, you're buying them when they're cheaper. By the time the market recovers, perhaps later in your retirement, your portfolio will be recovering just when you own a bigger slice of stocks again. And, you know, nobody's saying to run into this approach. You know, a lot of the financial planners that I spoke with said this is really thought-provoking and this is something that we should really be thinking about, but it's still a matter of kind of crafting approach that works best for you. The biggest reason why people bail out is because they didn't come up with a plan to begin with. So, you know, if the market crashes and you have come up with a plan, you have a diversified collection of low-cost index funds, and you put a lot of thought and analysis either by yourself with a financial planner, potentially, then you're probably better off just riding it out and sticking with your plan. If you didn't have a plan to begin with, that's probably the time to kind of check in with an expert, perhaps one that charges by the hour. If you don't want to pay a percentage of your assets, a lot of fee-only financial planners charge that way, but you don't have to create a lifelong relationship and have them manage your money. You can just pay somebody by the hour and have them do a little checkup on your portfolio.
Tara Siegel-Bernard covers personal finance for The New York Times. Thank you so much.
Thank you.